Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Advent can be kind of a mind-boggling season of the church here that mixes time. It mixes the past, the present, and the future. It's about our Lord's coming. And yes, this coming happened long ago. It will happen at the last day in the future, and yes, it even happens right now. Last Sunday, we heard of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We heard of our need for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to come in the present. We hear this week of our Lord Jesus Christ's second coming in the future. We hear about it, however, in the present. And yes, we do have an eye, as our sanctuary has now been decorated for it. We have an eye towards celebrating the past event of our Lord's incarnation and birth on Christmas as well. But Advent brings us past and present and future all together at once. Our Lord has promised to return. His return is expected, but it will happen when no one expects it. That's not to say, of course, that people can't be prepared for his return. That's the whole point of his talking about the last days, is to get us ready and prepared for it. There will be, of course, as you hear, all sorts of people who will be unprepared, as our lessons point out. These are those folks who spend their days focusing on the signs of the coming of our Lord, without actually considering his words and considering his coming. They look at the signs and think that's it. They, in their being weighed down with their fear and foreboding, as we hear about it, with their drunkenness and dissipation, that is, their tuning out from the real world and real life and so forth, with their obsessing then over the cares and anxieties of this life, with the perplexity that those who are unprepared actually serve to us as a sign. That as we see them, we are reminded of what Christ said about the end and his eventual return. That the days are drawing closer, with the nations toiling to offset what God has ordained to take place, with people so overdone with anxieties that they can't hardly function in society anymore. That the signs are there. Yes, in creation too. Sun and moon and stars, signs on the earth, roaring of the sea and waves. Nations in turmoil with each other. And nations trying to figure out how to control the sun and the moon and the stars, the roaring seas, the waves. Not to mention how to control the people. And also then the people overcome with worries and fears, foreboding. Take note, the unprepared are unprepared because their focus is on all of these earthly signs without consideration of what the signs themselves are supposed to point us towards, the return of Jesus. So Jesus warns us this morning. He says, "Watch yourselves." It is very easy to get caught up watching the unprepared in their fears and anxieties and their foreboding. But Christ is concerned that you would be ready and that you would not be distracted by the sideshow of a world that rejects him. You, be ready. Have control of yourself. Use the signs going on all around you to remind yourself of what is coming upon the world. Remind yourself of what doesn't help you in the face of Christ's return and thereby curb your flesh. That the things that don't help you are things like fear, things like foreboding, dreading what is coming upon the world, things like dissipation or drunkenness. That is, you can see it simply, yes, in the use of alcohol, but also in detachment from real life, the life that God has given you. Of forsaking your calling, your vocations, and the good works that are appointed to happen in those things. That there is an enemy of your soul, anxieties over the cares and concerns of this daily life. That all of these things, these fears and foreboding and perplexity and anxiety and detachment and so forth, they hurt your preparation. So cast them aside. Repent of them. And embrace the forgiveness and new life that Christ alone gives. Instead, we are to be prepared. First of all, we are prepared by first remembering who we are in Christ Jesus. Who we are as baptized children of God. That we are not of the world. That you have another kingdom to which you belong, and that is the kingdom of God which comes when Christ returns. You belong to a nation, a citizenship that is not of this world, a heavenly citizenship, and that is your primary citizenship. You have a family of God to which you belong to for all eternity. You have a Savior in the Son of God. You have a heavenly Father who bids you to pray and who bids you to pray. And you possess the Holy Spirit who was sent to you by the same Father and the Son. That Spirit of our God helps you in this present life to prepare for this future. That Spirit is what bids us as a church to pray as we did today in that collect, as we prayed for the present coming of Christ to make us ready for the future coming of Christ. That we pray for Christ to come now by His word and sacrament to make us ready for what is yet to come. That in this present we would be godly in what we believe, what we confess, what we do, in how we talk and how we love each other. That involves, of course, being under and living in the word of our God. That in the word of God we find all of our spiritual life. It is nourishment for that organ, as our fathers called it, that organ of faith. That if you want a healthy faith, it will be faith that is fed by the Word. Staying in the Word is vital to life and preparation for what is to come. But as I said, this also involves putting to death the flesh, the worries, the fears, the overemphasis upon all the stuff going on around us instead of realizing that it's just pointing to Christ's return. But to put to death the sinful nature. That is, we know how to do this through repentance and faith. But it also includes so much more than that. It includes voluntary disciplines that we take upon ourselves to help curb our flesh, to control ourselves. Prayers, fasting, almsgiving. You've heard him mentioned several times now. There's good reason. This is a season of preparing for our Lord's return. And those things, each of them, teach us that this world is not the most important thing we have. That it's not our time and our efforts. It's not the food and drink that we have. That this life consists of so much more than that. It is not the money we possess. That each of those things need to have a constant control put upon them. And those spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting and almsgiving, they do it. Christians throughout time can attest to that. That these, along with faithfully attending to the Word of God in devotions, in attendance of services, are good preparations for Jesus' return. They make us ready. They help you to be watchful. That you would not be found amongst the masses of those unprepared. That the signs are all around us. And the return is certainly coming. That we can't deny this. And so our Lord would have us prepare. And so we prepare. Jesus calls it staying awake at all times. That is living in the light. Believing the Word of God, leading godly lives according to it, praying even more because of our great need for His help in this task, that we can't necessarily prepare ourselves without God's help along the way. It almost becomes more like begging than it is praying. That we need His help in becoming prepared and staying in the faith. And so we beg for it. We beg for, as the text says, strength. But really we beg, as another translation puts it, to be counted worthy. That is to say, to be counted as faithful, trusting in Christ when Christ himself returns, that being in the present, straightened up, with head raised up high, that we would stand before the Son of Man when he comes. This happens by faith in Jesus. And that faith is exercised in preparations that are done in our present days for the sake of those future ones. This is all because the signs say the end is coming. But we are not to approach that day with fear or foreboding or anxiety or worry. No, Jesus rightly calls that day a day of redemption. Redemption, yes, we are already redeemed by the blood of Christ Jesus. Our sins are all forgiven because of Christ's work. That God's blood has purchased us and bought us back, redeemed us. And that the last day will put that fact, that action of God, it will put that on full display. All the enemies that we have ever known, and even those we do not know, of our body and our soul, all those who have opposed us, will be shown for what they really are. That the redemption of Jesus will restore everything that has been taken away, everything that has been destroyed, all that has been done wrong will be righted. That this goes for the nations who reject Christ and fight against the Lord. They will become like stubble. This goes for the masses of unbelievers who rejected Christ in favor of their earthly concerns and their plans. This goes then also for all the troubles that made our lives difficult. This goes for the sicknesses which troubled us and gave us temptations to worry. This goes for the sins which gnawed away at our consciences. This goes for the great and last enemy, even death itself, which torments us. And it most certainly goes with all the demons and the devil, which are never without their plots and plans for our destruction, that the day of redemption, the day of our Lord Jesus' return, will mean their end, their undoing, their final exit from the life that God has ordained for all eternity. That every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation will be disgraced for their effort to hurt or harm you, and they will be shown out. That this redemption day, that is the last day, is a blessed end for you. And that's what Christ says. That's his word. As he says, it will not pass away. Heaven and earth, that is to say, the universe and the earth, they will pass away. They will not remain. Sin and all that sin has damaged and corrupted will be done away with. The word of Jesus will remain. And his word, as we heard in the epistle lesson, brings endurance to last, encouragement that we might have hope. Hope. Not fears, not foreboding, not worries, but hope that only Christians can be sure of. That his word about the last day is that it's a day of your redemption. Redemption, not fear. Redemption, not foreboding. Redemption, not perplexity or anxiety. Redemption, not drunkenness or dissipation or numbness to the life around you. Redemption. That you are to live now in the present as it will be, and for the things of the final day. Live calling by that redemption upon the name of the Lord your God, trusting in his word which endures forever, trusting him who is your Redeemer, who has promised to return, who will make that day the great and awesome redemption day. That as everything around us falls apart, as the signs become even more clear and more evident, straighten up. Raise your head. Think on and look on Christ who comes. Be watchful. Be watchful through prayer and attendance to the Word of God, trusting in what that Word of God brings us, that is, the Word of Christ. That all that He said in His indestructible Word is coming to fruition, and that this is not terrible news, but it is good news. That by God's grace and by God's Spirit, you believe it. And you live in all godliness as you await that great and awesome day, the day of your redemption. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.